البيان راديو presents رمضان Q&A presented by شيخ طه زينب.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue with Ramadan Q&A inshallah ta'ala, and today we continue with part 2 speaking about intimacy and intercourse during the daytime of Ramadan. So we've established that it is not allowed for the Muslim to have intercourse during the daytime of Ramadan. It is completely fine and permissible for you to be intimate fully with your wife at night between Maghrib and Fajr. But during the daytime, we've established that having intimacy and full intercourse during the daytime of Ramadan does break somebody's fasting, and then he has to do a kafara, which was freeing a slave or fasting 60 consecutive days, or if they can't, then they have to feed 60 poor believers or people from the community. Now we will speak a bit more in depth about the kafara itself. So let's say somebody has committed that sin and he's doing the kafara of siyam. He's fasting 60 consecutive days. And we emphasize they have to be consecutive. Let's say somebody fasts for a month and then he has a month to go, and out of laziness he chooses to stop fasting and he breaks his fasting on one day. Then he has to reinitiate the whole fasting again. He has to restart. He has to reset and restart the 2 consecutive months. Without an excuse, you're not allowed to break the continuity of the fasting, yani of the kafara. Unless it's out of sickness and the sickness is severe and you can't fast, then when the sickness is gone, then you can resume bi'idhnillah. Or if a woman gets her menses during the kafara, then she stops fasting until she is purified. Then she continues with her kafara. But again, it has to be consecutive, 2 consecutive months. Feeding the poor, do you have to feed 60 poor people if you're paying that kafara, if you can't fast or free a slave? The scholar said you have to feed them and give actual food and provide food. It's not enough for you to gather money and give it to them for them to spend. It has to be done in a form of food similar to zakat al-fitr, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, if you cannot find 60 amongst the poor, can you feed the same people over and over again? Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tut'imu 60 miskinan fihi hujjatun lana wa lil jumhur wa ajma' alayhi ulama'u fil a'sar al-muta'akhirah wa huwa ishtiratu ta'ami 60 miskina. ثم جمهور المشترطين 60 قالوا لكل مسكين مد وهو ربع صاع وقال أبو حنيفة والثوري لكل مسكين نصف صاع. Now, so they said that it is mandatory for you to feed 60 different needy people. It is not enough for you to feed the same people over and over again, unless it's a severe case where, يعني, subhanAllah, live in a community where everybody is rich and you can't find anyone that is poor or needy, and you found maybe 10, so you feed those 10 people once a day for the next 6 days. So that's 60, or that compensates for feeding 60 people. So but in general, you should do your best to give the food to 60 separate individuals. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. If you're paying the kafara and you're feeding 60 from amongst the poor and the needy, are you allowed, you and your family, to eat from this kafara? Ibn Khudaymah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said لا خلاف في أن الإنسان لا يأكل كفارة نفسه ولا يطعمها عائلة. He said there's no difference of opinion. يعني there's an agreement amongst the scholars that a person cannot eat and consume his own kafara, nor can he feed his own family from it. The permanent committee of scholars, they said it is not permissible for the kafara to be paid to your parents, grandparents, and so on, or to your offspring from children and grandchildren and so on. So you have to give it to the poor and the needy, but it can't be from your parents or your offspring. Wallahu alam. So if somebody is unable to pay his kafara, he can't free a slave, he can't fast 60 days, and he's too poor to feed 60 people, then what's the ruling for the kafara? Yani, does he still have to do it? How does he go about it? Ibn Uthaymeen, yani, had his opinion. He said if he can't afford it, then he doesn't have to do it. Yani he said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And that's the opinion of the Hanbali Madhab and some Shafi'is. The majority of the scholars, though, they said that, and that's a correct view amongst the Shafi'iyya as well, is that the kafara is always a debt in his neck. And the kafara la tasqutu anhu. It will never be waived. If he cannot afford it now, then for now, he doesn't have to pay it. But later, if he gets to a point where he can afford it or can fast 60 consecutive days, then he has to pay the kafara, even if it is years later. الشيرازي رحمه الله تعالى, he said لأنه حق لله تعالى يجب بسبب من جهته, because it is a right from the rights of Allah عز وجل, and it is a command due to the ruling that Allah سبحانه وتعالى made, so it can't be nullified unless with an excuse. So if you're unable to do it, then you don't have to until بإذن الله تعالى you can perform this ibadah and expiate that sin, inshallah, then you should do so بإذن الله عز وجل. If somebody has intercourse with his wife during the daytime of Ramadan while both of them forgetting, and if they both forgot that it was the daytime of Ramadan, do they have to pay kafara? If they do it out of forgetfulness and they don't remember until they finish the act, then they do not have to pay kafara. Similar to eating and drinking. If you eat and drink during the daytime of Ramadan and you do it out of forgetfulness, there's no harm, inshallah ta'ala, and you can just continue your fasting as normal. Same applies to intercourse, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And you don't have to pay kafara or remake that day or refast that day. If somebody knew that it was haram to have intercourse during the daytime of Ramadan and didn't know about the kafara, do they still have to do it? Wallahu a'lam. An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, or he spoke about this case. He said, if somebody is fasting during Ramadan and he said, I didn't know the ruling, then if that person is a new Muslim and new Muslims normally don't know these rulings, then there's no kafara. He doesn't have to expiate upon them. But if a person is a Muslim and he's born Muslim and he knows that it is haram to have intercourse during the daytime of Ramadan, then he has to pay the kafara, even if he doesn't know, even if he didn't know that the kafara was mandatory, because that was negligence on his part. That was negligence on his part, wallahu a'lam. Naam. And that applied to the companion that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not knowing the ruling. He knew that it was haram to have intercourse during Ramadan, during the daytime of Ramadan, but he didn't know the kafara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still gave him the ruling that he had to pay a kafara and expiate that sin. If a person is not fully intimate with his wife, yani if somebody is being a bit cheeky with his wife during Ramadan without fully having an intercourse, and he ends up ejaculating without having intimacy, does he have to pay the kafara? The scholars say he doesn't have to pay the kafara in that case if he didn't have full intimacy, but he has broken his siyam and he has to remake that day and repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. That brings us to the ruling of kissing your wife or being or fondling with your wife a little bit during the daytime of Ramadan. In general, the scholars say if it's an old man that can control his desire and guarantee that he's not going to ejaculate or break his fasting by intimacy, then there's no harm in doing so. But if a person is young and he can't guarantee himself and can't control himself, then it is not allowed for him. It is not allowed for him. It is disliked and discouraged for him to, subhanAllah, do that with his wife, Allahu A'lam. What about masturbating? Does masturbating during the daytime of Ramadan nullify somebody's fasting and siyam? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If somebody does this act during the daytime of Ramadan, then he has to remake that day, fast it after Ramadan, and repent from this sin and refrain from these habits, as masturbating is a sin, whether it is in the daytime of Ramadan or at night or in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. It is not allowed for a believer to commit this act, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. If somebody is asleep and has a wet dream and ends up ejaculating during his sleep, whether it is in the daytime of Ramadan or the nighttime of Ramadan, does that nullify his siyam? The answer is no. If somebody is in a dream or has a wet dream during the daytime of Ramadan or a nap during Ramadan, and he ends up ejaculating, then that does not nullify his fasting. He just does the ghusl and continues. And the same applies to a person who has a wet dream at night and then wakes up in the day after Fajr. Then all he needs to do is make ghusl and continue fasting as normal. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.